naked by the sea. That was me. That was me playing conkers at the bus stop on a blanket in the bluebells. That was me. The same me that stands here now. And when I think that all this stuff can make a life, it's pretty hard to take it in. That was me.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and I'm coming to you live from Prague today, and Chris is in his usual spot in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're a world traveler. I barely leave the apartment.
Well, the good thing is we can do it this way, especially, yeah. And that actually leads us into our topic of the day, which is connecting with our listeners, and you're all responsible for giving us a lot of the material today for the episode, which is what we're going to call Defining McCartney. The idea is not just, oh, what's your favorite McCartney song? So we threw a question out to you and wanted you to answer on our Facebook page, what song defines Paul McCartney as a musician, artist, performer, whatever, to you, and why? And so we got some pretty good responses, and we're grateful for all of you who sent in some responses. So what was your thought when you just generally of what we got?
Well, I didn't know what to expect, really. I thought, well, maybe we'll just get the running order of all the best or something. But we got quite a few. I mean, we got a few that you'd expect, but with great reasoning, yes, behind them. And then we got a lot that are just like very unexpected, and with also, again, good logic behind them. Then we got a few with just where you just said the song, but we'll talk about those as well.
Yeah, the way we'll do this is we organize the songs by the consensus, I guess you could say, the most amount of comments and discussion. And then we'll add our 2 cents along the way with, in addition to whatever you guys had to say. So we started out the episode. A couple of the songs that you suggested are ones that we've talked about quite a bit recently. So we're going to just talk about them very briefly. But the song That Was Me, which we opened the show with from Memory Almost Full, was discussed recently. So what did our listeners say about this one?
Amy talked about this one. She said, "That was me from Memory Almost Full. I think it practically defines Macca by Macca as he enters his twilight years. And although I chuckle at that sentiment as he is not slowing down at all, it's a song that fully addresses his life as in a comical, direct, and heartfelt manner."
Oh, very well said. Yeah, very well said. Yeah.
If you remember, I was a little rougher on that was me than you were at the time, but yeah. That's well stated.
Yeah, I think that says a lot, especially it gets to the point that we were trying to make in the Memory Almost Full review about how Paul's, as he is entering his twilight years, he's doing a lot of nostalgia and looking back, and that was me is certainly a very reflective look back and defining himself in a way. So yeah, good choice.
As probably one would expect, getting several comments, Maybe I'm Amazed.
Yes.
Was next. So Luke says, hard to choose, but it's definitely in contention for the best post-Beatles song of all. The emotion in the piano and vocals, the guitar solo, the vocal performance as a whole. Gah! I'm in love.
Yes.
Also, Michelle said he's fully involved, one of his best vocals too. Not only that stunning guitar solo, In those early solo years, he was still full of ideas, and the so-called silly love songs weren't born yet. Kathy said, can't think of another one that so perfectly showcases Paul's talent and love for Linda. And then Dave just says, hands down, Maybe I'm Amazed. Mm. So let's hear Maybe I'm Amazed, and we'll talk about it. I don't think we've ever talked about Maybe I'm Amazed.
It's been a long time with our McCartney review reissue a long time ago. So, yeah, not much. So
hard to pot that one down, huh?
Yeah. It's, you know, I'll be honest. I used to not really like that song very much because I'm not a huge love song fan. But
yeah, you hate love.
Well, but I won't say that. I won't say that. But I thought it was really overlong. I used to think it was very long, like kind of boring. But then, once I really started to listen more to the musical aspects of it and the guitar solo and the fact that it's all him, really, it made my impression go way up. So, yeah, it is a very impressive performance.
Oh, absolutely. And not just that, like, the great guitar solo.
Yeah.
Fantastic vocal performance.
Harmonies, yeah, vocal,
but,
right.
But all the little details, like when the sort of
yeah,
comes in,
yeah.
It's just really well done. the fact he did it by himself,
it's pretty amazing.
Great drums, you know. Yeah. So top to bottom, just a fantastic song, and the emotion of it too. You know, it's just a very real. I'm a real sucker for emotional dynamics in songs and in music in general, and he really just really lands it.
Yeah, some great screaming McCartney on that song.
Yeah. Well, the next tune, that's another kind of to be expected one. Band on the Run. Andrew says it's obvious, but it's probably Band on the Run, isn't it? Wonderfully simple and unforgettable melodies, and unafraid of getting a little weird. That's Mac at his best in a nutshell. Anton says, although I've always been more interested in John Lennon's solo career than McCartney's, it's hard to choose just one post-Beatles song by Paul. But for some reason, I've been listening to the album Band on the Run quite a bit, and I love the title track. It's a song with different parts that showcases Paul vocally and as a composer really well. It somehow reminds me of the type of mosaic-like pieces the Beatles we're recording around the Let It Be and Abbey Road era. Loda also says that opening guitar lick gets me every time. Magic. And If I Ever Get Out of Here, Gonna Give It All Away was supposedly something George said during the dreaded Apple lawsuit meetings after the breakup. Ed also liked it. So let's hear Band on the Run.
Thank you. these four walls. Sent inside forever. Never seeing no one. Nice again. Like you, Mama. You, Mama.
Yeah, so everybody knows Band on the Run, and it's certainly an iconic McCartney tune. You've got the three different parts kind of going with the beginning part, stuck inside these four walls, and then the if we ever get out of here line, and then the longest part of the song after that. Again, really, a huge McCartney production, because if you remember, Band on the Run doesn't have anybody else except Denny Lane, so... And Linda on vocals, I guess, but or I guess Linda probably plays the.
Yeah, she sure did in concert, huh?
That's true. That's true.
You know, you remember those keyboards that used to have the rolling thing?
Yeah.
That
oh yeah. The pitch portamento. On? Yeah.
And I think that's what she used on.
So it is a great song. Can't disagree with that.
Well, of the tune, if we're picking from the tunes that we listed here, of the one I most agree with, it probably is this one.
Yeah.
That it just really defines. And when one thing I kind of look for when I was thinking about this is, well, where's the song where you get the most like variant Paul vocals, but also some just a really, really awesome bass.
Yeah,
and also you get like different parts, and then you know when he comes in with the acoustic there towards the end, it's just like a quintessential kind of Paul stuff, all packed into one awesome song. So
and that great riff with the do 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 yeah.
So. Plus, some of these other songs that have all kinds of different parts and stuff, which a few of them we'll talk about.
They're coming.
Soon,
yeah,
might not be the most like this is such a good idea too, like the Band on the Run idea.
Yeah.
Of like, in like the stuff that he says is sort of like all fits together and makes sense.
Yeah, coheres. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So great choice. By all you guys, Anton, Andrew, Loda, Ed. The next tune, pretty good song. Now, Dave is holding a pressing of the album that this is from. The song is Wanderlust.
Yes. I as I'm living in the Czech Republic, I like to pick up Czech releases of Beatle albums and Beatle-related albums, and I bought the 1982... and of course, it was Czechoslovakia at the time, a version of Tug of War, which is otherwise known as Pšeta Hovani Lanem, is the name of the album. And the song that we're going to listen to that was suggested by, who suggested this one?
Nicholas. And Nicholas says it's an Abbey Road-esque ballad, and he loves the counter melody of the song.
Okay, and that song would be Toha Po Sestovani. Otherwise known as Wanderlust.
Light out, wander lost.
Yeah, so Wanderlust came up in our discussion of Tug of War when the reissue came out, and I think we also, you picked it, I believe, when we did the Art of McCartney discussion. It was a Brian Wilson cover, and I think you were pretty fond of that cover.
Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
It's just a really, it's a beautiful song, and the orchestration behind it is just like perfectly done.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
And it's got that counter melody. We have the, oh, where did I go wrong, my love? And then you have the regular, the part of the song at the beginning on top of it. And just very, very intricately put together.
The next tune is not on an album at all. This is Judd, coming from Judd. He said, clearly there's a difference between the best defining McCartney to me and his best song. I'll skip a little subject.
Yeah.
That might be a little mean. He lands on, so I will say Waterspout because it's ridiculously catchy, not particularly meaningful lyrically, and somewhat underappreciated, as I believe McCartney solo stuff really is. That being said, there's so many sides to his solo work, I don't think any song could do him justice. So this is interesting. Waterspout from Cold Cuts, the unreleased Cold Cuts.
Yes.
So let's hear a little bit of this and we'll talk about it.
There.
So yeah, this was one that I way back, I don't know, it was one of our first episodes we did Underrated McCartney, and I this was one of my choices for all the reasons that Judd said. It does stick with you, it's very catchy. I don't know why he didn't explore that kind of Caribbean feel, or calypso, or whatever sort of musical influence that is. Could have gotten some mileage with it.
Yeah. Might be a sort of a stemming off of Linda's love of reggae.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, sort of like a little Reggae Junior kind of feel to it. But really good. Like Wyatt's. Oh man, we need a comprehensive.
I know.
Or a Cold Cuts. Why not just release Cold Cuts, dude?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Paul?
Yeah, I know, because that's. Yeah, there's some good, really good tunes on that. And we'll probably get to talk about it at some point. But this is one of the standout tracks.
You know, a Cold Cuts episode has been suggested by one of our listeners.
It has. Yeah.
We might look into that. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
An episode we haven't done, partially because we've been waiting for since 1993 for a remaster of, is Wings Wildlife.
Right.
We haven't talked about it at all. There's some good and terrible things to talk about in Wings Wildlife. But this song was suggested by Craig, and he says, "Love is strange. unusual for being a cover version, but it still defines Macca well with its toe-tapping melody, laid-back feel, Linda's lush harmonies, pumping bass, raucous drums, and to top it all off, great vocals from Paul. I don't mean to prove it to ya. So here's Love Is Strange. So there's a little Love Is Strange. You know, Dave, this popped up for me recently. I think it was on the closing of a show, a Netflix show I was watching called Love.
Mm-hmm.
A great show, by the way. I was like, oh yeah, this is a Wings song. Like I almost totally forgot. I was like, what song is this? How do I know this is this? Oh, this is a Wings song, because the first couple minutes of it is just the instrumental.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's really, the middle of the song is really kind of like as Wings as you can get from the original concept of like Paul kind of like almost sublimates himself to the to the vocals of Linda. And then towards the end, it turns into a Paul, you know, Paul singing out kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really catchy. I was very pleased for it to pop up, and I put it on a shuffle too, and it popped up again. I was like, oh yeah, this is, you know, real catchy.
Yeah.
Real catchy.
Good analysis. I don't really have anything to add, except it's kind of unusual because it's a cover song and there aren't a lot of McCartney cover songs through his career, solo career. So,
I mean other than Chuba CCCP,
well, apart from the album, yeah, yeah,
and exactly. That and that other album he did with the Run Devil Run
50s stuff, yeah, but in terms of, but, like up to that point, it was, you know,
it's Wings, definitely right, the now. Most un Paul cover, like,
yeah.
Paul's
a, yeah,
because usually he covers like, oh, an oldie.
Yeah,
you know, oh, we'll just
Carl
do an
Perkins
oldie.
Or Buddy Holly or oldies, yeah. Right?
Quite refreshing for all those different reasons we mentioned.
Definitely.
The next tune, we'll not play this one, but Jeff says, "My Brave Face." It's always hard to choose, but this one seems like a sweet spot where writing with Elvis Costello pushes him to write sharper lyrics and a great bridge. At the same time, I feel like it's a point where he made peace with his past and stopped trying to top the Beatles. There's an ease and joy to it. The video is also fun. Andrew adds, it's so weird it's not more fondly remembered. It deserves to be in his live show a lot more.
Yeah, I agree. I think we talked in the Flowers in the Dirt remaster episode how Paul used to play a lot of those songs from the album, and they were good. They were well performed and okay. You know, they weren't bathroom break songs. And so I would agree, and I've always liked My Brave Face. I think it's a great tune, and showcases the best of McCartney and Elvis Costello.
Yeah, Yeah. Real good. And of course that deluxe version had some extra. I always like hearing a song you've heard so many times, hearing like a good demo version or a good alternate mix. And that one's got a few of them on there. So, so definitely if you haven't heard that bonus track version, give that a listen. Here's one from David, Beautiful Night. I'm not in the camp of Paul is a balladeer and that's it, but he does have a knack for writing really wonderful melodies, and especially for songs like this. The song covers so many areas of what we know Paul to be. He's a multi-instrumentalist, plays 7 different instruments on this track. He took the time to sort this track out from his 1983 beginnings to bring it to fruition the way we know it. He enlisted all the right personnel, even Jeff Lynne.
That was for you.
Yes. Got it in the episode. George Martin is here. Jeff Emmerich is here to remember things and rewrite them later. Ringo is here. Linda is here. Wonderful production. Great engineering. There's a laid-back vibe, a rock vibe, a jam at the end, and even a bit of Ringo humor.
Mm-hmm.
Great song all around, even the lyrics, which I think you guys have dumped out on the past. And it really is all about the chorus. And that is great. So, yeah.
Great commentary there.
Fantastic commentary. Let's see here. Beautiful Night, the remastered Pure McCartney version of Beautiful Night.
Someone's gone out fishing. Someone's high and dry. Someone's on a mission to the lonely Lorelei. Some folks got a vision of a castle in the sky. And I'm left stranded, wondering why. You and me together, nothing feels so good. Even if I get a medal from a local neighborhood, I won't need a castle. They got castles in Versailles. And I'm still stranded, wondering why.
So Beautiful Night from Flaming Pie, and for all the reasons that were mentioned, it does kind of, it's like the complete package there with all of Paul's important figures in his life at that time all coming together. And we didn't play it, but yeah, the coda is fun with the jam, and you hear Ringo very loudly. Chris made a funny joke beforehand in light of the news recently that Ringo is now a knight.
He's a beautiful knight.
Yeah, so it has double meaning here.
Just in that listen there, what really stood out was that vocal is really so clean and present.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sounds really amazing in the vocal there, hitting those high. It's a beautiful night. Some of the lyrics are a little, they're not dumb lyrics, though, like the castles in Versailles and that kind of thing. You know, they're not dumb. They're just a little funky.
Yeah.
But I like it. I will say when this ended up on Pure McCartney, it was one of those where maybe I discounted the song a little bit before, and you know, on Pure McCartney, it really stood out and kind of was like, oh, I'm glad they included this one.
Yeah.
A good a personal friend of mine, Mark, says I'm going to say coming up. First, the song sounds simple, handful of chords, but it's a sophisticated composition. The studio and live recordings highlight his range as a recording artist and performer. Plus, rumor has it that Coming Up inspired John to write the songs that appeared on Double Fantasy. So, which do you want to hear, Dave? Do you want to hear the studio version or Live at Glasgow?
I like the live version.
We cut it off before the, I like this.
Got some good McCartneyisms in that live performance. Yeah, that's always a good tune. The video is very clever. If you haven't seen the video, he changes his outfits and different. He's Beatle Paul, he's Buddy Holly Paul, or he's kind of dressed up as Buddy Holly and assumes different personas. It is pretty funky.
It's funky. The bass part is just great. If you just listen to the isolated bass part of this, it's just amazing.
Yeah, the walking bass thing.
And Mark makes a good point that the sort of more canned and very quirky studio version from McCartney 2 that's very McCartney 2 experimental, but still this sort of like pop song, you know? Yeah. And then you got this live version that's great. You got all the McCartneyisms, the you got it, and all that 1, 2, 3, 4, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's great, great, very versatile. So I like it. I like it. Great song. Great song. Another great song. Really, you know, this gets a lot. It's a bad reputation. And then you actually listen to the song. It's a great song. George would agree. Caesar says, this clearly defines the side of Paul's songwriting. I think it's a factor reason why he wrote it. That's a circular argument here, he says. And then Mark says, honorable mention, silly love songs, because it may be the slyest diss track ever written.
You think that people would have had enough of silly love songs?
Silly love songs. I'm gonna admit this is my choice for defining McCartney, and I will be a little more specific. The melody is extremely catchy. It's, to me, it's got everything. You know, it has an amazing bass line that really propels, you know, like propels the song forward. Intricate arrangements, especially the ending, which is very classically derived with the imitation of the three different parts going on at once. And then the simple lyrics, like sort of ridiculous lyrics, that all this effort is put in on the words, I love you, which seems like a very McCartney thing to do, take something very simple and just make it really elaborate and interesting.
Yeah, especially when it builds to that, yes, sort of like where I love you's going, but also how can I tell you,
yeah,
part of my loved one.
Yeah.
And it's just so so brilliant.
Yeah, and the fact that he always talks about, you know, what's wrong with that and what is wrong with that. And I like the end of that song ends on a minor chord, and it's very surprising, too. Kind of like, I dare you. Yeah, what's wrong with that? You know, what's
yeah,
wrong with silly love songs? Who cares? And Paul's done that his whole career and shouldn't be defensive about it because it's one of his strengths.
It is sort of a defining thing because it's like, even if you're a guy who argues that, oh, his lyrics are simple and too maybe pie in the sky positive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you've got you've got that argument to make, but freaking dig into the music of this one. It's just like amazing.
It is.
The bass, and once again, back to the bass, I'm like hot on his bass playing right now.
Yeah.
If you can't tell. But the bass at the beginning of this is just so, on its own, is so catchy.
Yeah, you know? That riff, yeah.
Yeah, it's just great, and Linda's great on this one, too. It's just really like a wonderful Linda tune.
Yeah.
So all around thumbs up for Silly Love Songs.
Yeah, definitely. And the live version on Wings Over America is a really good one as well. They really get into it, and the horn section sounds great.
Now, Dave wants me to play all of this next.
Yeah, I need to go to the bathroom and get some water, and I'll be right back.
but Vincent says, I think that Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey to me, is pure McCartney, no pun intended. Some of this song sounds Beatles, some of this song sounds Beatles, and some McCartney solo. And then Ken also says it's fab. let's do listen to a little Uncle Albert.
We're so sorry.
So there's Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey, one of Dave's faves, of course.
right.
I wanted to talk about that, and we also had another song we played recently, The Pound is Sinking. Johnny said, this might seem like a bit of an odd choice at first, but the song actually embodies various sides of Paul, and can you imagine anyone other than him writing a song like that? Needless to say, really an amazing tune. And I agree, like... that you can't really imagine anybody other than Paul cobbling together these sort of disparate parts of songs like Uncle Albert and The Pound of Singing. I think when we talked about The Pound of Singing, I liked it better than Dave. Yes. Same with Uncle Albert's, one of our famous agree to disagrees. And that they're atmospheric songs, really, more than anything.
Yeah.
The lyrics are sort of very secondary, very kind of like maybe even nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Word salad-y.
Yeah.
I like both songs, and The Pound of Sinking is actually a song I've seeked out.
Oh, really?
Since we talked about it during Tug of War.
Oh.
A little bit.
Oh.
Occasionally just caught asking, I won't say her name, but the Amazon Echo lady. I don't want to trigger that lady right now.
Yes.
But asked her specifically for that song. So,
Well, maybe I would like it better if I knew that The Pound of Sinking is actually called Libra Sapotapi in Czech. Maybe that would make a difference. I don't know. So I don't have anything to add particularly to Uncle Albert and Pound is Sinking. They're both those kind of cobbled together sweet type songs, SUITE. And for me, it just doesn't really work for me, but they're always well done musically and well put together.
All right, so three more. These are quick hitters, and Rich mentions My Love, classic Macca, silly love song with Linda at his heart. Probably both of us think a little bit smaltzier, actually, than silly love song.
Yes.
But pretty good, great solo in it.
Yeah, obviously. Great guitar solo, yeah.
Cesare also mentions I've Had Enough. From London Town.
Yeah.
I believe it's the perfect crossover between pre-wings and post-wings ball.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, good point. And we'll go out with Tim's choice. I know it wasn't a really big hit or anything, but one of my favorite Paul McCartney Wings songs is Getting Closer from Back to the Egg, of course. Our fans have been clamoring for Back to the Egg for such a long time.
Well, and the fans have been clamoring, but Chris must have been listening because he actually went out and then he sent me a picture of Back to the Egg on vinyl that he bought recently at a store. So I think we're getting closer to doing a review of Back to the Egg.
Well, of course, Back to the Egg, London Town, and Wings Wildlife, like we talked about. All of them are going off of the 1993 remastered.
I know. It's really...
25... Oh, a 20... We should do a buzz. Oh, you know, 25 years ago, it was the remaster of London Town.
Big anniversary to celebrate.
So, hopefully, those will come out. Not too much to say about I've Had Enough and Getting Closer. They're a little more obscure.
Yeah.
But I love the salamander.
My salamander. Great McCartney lyric there. Yeah.
But they do. Getting Closer does have that. It's sort of the last Wings album, you know. It does have some classic Wings harmonies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and some Lawrence Juber.
Oh, that's right. Juber.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think? Yeah. So looking back at our list here, defining McCartney, if we had to pick the main things that our listeners and we have to say or had to define, what do you think? Where would you start here? What would be the main characteristics?
I think the trend's a little more towards the multi-part kind of songs that are complex,
mm-hmm.
But with very simple kind of melodies and simple lyrics, you know, in places. I think that's pretty much sums it up. For me, obviously, it was important that there's some great bass in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's hard to find a song where there's like awesome bass, he plays piano, but there's also guitar, like some of his. Him on guitar, except for some of those early ones where he's playing all the parts.
Right, right. It seems that a lot of people prize melody as a big deal, as well as the arrangements or all of the kind of the different parts putting a lot of things together, and that I think something that makes McCartney's music stand out from his other bandmates. It's not really that kind of stuff in Lennon's solo music, and not George's music either. So really, I think it shows, you can see why Paul got into classical music and stretched his talents into that area, because he really prizes the professionalism and the musicality and putting all the things, all the different parts of a song together. So that seems to be what defines McCartney. That could be another good, we have pure McCartney, so maybe defining McCartney could be another collection.
Part two,
yeah, maybe put together by the fans or something. I don't know.
That's right.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, so. Getting Closer wasn't on there. No. I've Had Enough. Pound is Sinking.
Waterspout finally could come out.
Waterspout, Love is Strange. Yeah. You know, so yeah, Brave Face.
Definitely.
So we can get all those in there.
Yeah. So yeah, well, thank you to our listeners and everybody who wrote in. Since really, we like to throw it out to you guys once in a while and get some feedback and get some reactions. So always appreciate it, and gave us some good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, of course, our Facebook group, find us on there, and of course, at I've Got a Beatles on Twitter.
And you can send us an email at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com.
All right, we'll exit with a little Back to the Egg.
In honor of Chris's new vinyl.
Yep. Yeah. Here's Getting Closer. Say you don't